The Phil they're singing about is Phil Rosenthal, who created the show Everybody Loves Raymond and ran it for all those years, and then starred in a great documentary called Exporting Raymond, and then did a PBS series called I'll Have What Phil's Having, which now returns in a different form. Well, no, actually the same form, but with a new name. It's coming to Netflix starting this Friday, known as Somebody Feed Phil, in which Phil goes around the world, eats all sorts of food, meets all sorts of people, and describes himself as Rick Steves, but without the knowledge and the sex appeal. I'm very happy to have Phil back on the show this afternoon. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hello. How about that song?
Yeah, very
I
nice.
I love having a theme song.
Yeah.
On Netflix, you get a theme song if you go on Netflix.
Who is that?
That's Lake Street Dive, one of my favorite bands. And they wrote a song where we became friends because I'm such a fan of theirs. And they said we would do the theme song. I'm like, I'm living a dream. The song is so good, I find myself humming it myself about myself.
You are living the dream. Somebody else is paying for you to go around the world and eat all sorts of food.
Well, yes, but if the show was just that, I think you would get bored.
Yes.
I think if you've seen the show, you know that the food and hopefully the humor is just a way in to meet the people and to maybe explore the culture a little bit.
Yeah, I watched this weekend three of the upcoming episodes, the ones in New Orleans.
Three?
Yeah,
you're halfway done.
New Orleans, Saigon, and Tel Aviv. Oh, there are only six in this run?
In this batch, yeah, six. Just like on the PBS show, there were six there and there's six here. We're already talking about more. But you're going to see six all at once. They're going to push a button on Friday, and there'll be six all at once that you can see, and it'll be all over the world.
What makes the show work is your personality and, frankly, your face. You have such an expressive face, a look of wonder and delight just walking down the street. Is that your everyday Phil face?
Well, listen, we're not always in a great mood. I'm still a person. Certain things bother me. I'm blessed or cursed with the worst poker face in the world. I could never, ever win at poker because you see what I'm thinking. There's some people just have that face. I don't know if it's good or bad, but, you know, I'm not a good liar. There's no acting on the show. You know what I think when I think it. So I guess people have told me that they like that because You actually know what something tastes like when I taste it.
Absolutely. You're also the only person I know to have a TV show where he eats food and goes places and talks to people, and who, when you decided to go to New Orleans, you said, I got to have some chocolate babka. I've been to New Orleans. I didn't think to myself, I got to get chocolate babka. You didn't eat one beignet while you were there, Phil.
I did. There's a quick shot of it, but I did. I went to the famous one, Café du Monde.
Café Ben.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Listen, I love that food, but it just so happens, you won't believe it, the number one restaurant in New Orleans, the number one rated restaurant, is an Israeli restaurant.
That's fascinating. And the guy you meet there not only feeds you in his restaurant, but actually introduces you to other people who make terrific food. And I don't know if it's him or somebody else, but somebody in New Orleans says, look, healthy is not our jam.
That's right. The slogan for New Orleans should be, New Orleans, we're trying to kill you.
tell me about how New Orleans is doing, especially outside of the Bourbon Street touristy part of town. How is it doing in this post-Katrina world?
Well, you know, it's kind of thrilling. It seems to be back, and it seems to be better than ever. If there's a spirit there that's so wonderful. The people are wonderful. Things are being rebuilt, maybe not as fast as it should be, but this is a never-say-die spirit. It's the party capital of the United States.
Yeah.
And that's evident everywhere, not just Bourbon Street, but there's Frenchman Street now, and there's all these other neighborhoods, and there's wonderful places that you can sit outside and have a drink and have a beautiful meal and listen to great music. If you can't get to Europe, I tell people, go to New Orleans. It's only a few hours from anywhere in the United States, in the continental United States, and you're in another world.
Yep. When I was there, I made a friend down there, and he said, let me show you the New Orleans that we know. And he took me to Frenchman Street and took me to a place called the Spotted Cat, where we saw a great local band. And then as we were walking back to the hotel, we turned a corner, and there's random people forming a brass band and playing in the middle of the street.
That's right. That's New Orleans.
That's
the
New
music
Orleans.
Just the music and the food just pop out of every corner.
Now, I do have to play a clip from your show in New Orleans where you were walking down a street and people saw you with a TV crew, and a couple of them asked you what was going on. And this is the third person you met there. This woman who, I have to say, as you listen to this, listen in the middle, and you can actually hear her look Phil up and down. Roll it.
Yeah. I'm on that show. I'm the, you ever see that show, The Bachelor?
Yeah.
I'm the next Bachelor.
Good luck with that.
What a great moment.
She says, good luck with that, and she just walks away.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I just look at the camera like, really? That bad? That terrible?
Phil, do you ever eat any plain food?
Of course. I love plain food, like regular food. I'd rather, can I be honest with you? I'd rather have a great hot dog than a four-hour French meal. It's too much for me now.
Yeah.
I'd rather just have a well-made sandwich with beautiful fresh turkey or something. I'd much rather have that than some big fancy thing. I think we all look for the foods we loved as kids in their idealized version.
Yeah, those are the comfort foods.
Those are the comfort foods, but not just, you know, yes, I'm happy with any slice of pizza. They say that, you know, pizza's like sex. Even you, rather than none, you'd still take some bad pizza.
Have you ever turned down anything on the show that they take you someplace and you go, I'm not going to eat that?
Well, sure. There's things that sometimes are surprises that they tell me, oh, here's in Mexico City, here's three tacos. I'm not going to tell you what's in. And this is not a great surprise. This is, I don't like surprises that involve meat. So I was nervous, and I took a bite of the first thing, and it was terrible. To me, I didn't like it. And so the second one I took, a smaller bite, because I learned a little something from the first bite, and that wasn't good either. And then the third one looked the worst of all, and I took a tiny bite of it, and it was the best one.
Uh-huh.
It was good. Perfectly good.
Speaking of tacos,
the lesson is you never know. You never know. Maybe you try something that's nice.
Yep.
And the thing is, we're not children. All we have to do is taste it. The tasting is its own reward, right?
Yes.
We try things, and who knows? You might find that you're now a lover of something you never knew existed.
Mm-hmm. As long as I don't find out it was a pigeon. I'm not eating pigeons, Phil.
Okay. You know, you don't have to.
Okay.
You know, when they serve pigeon in a restaurant, it's not the street pigeon that you see in New York.
I know, and they fancy it up and they call it squab, but it's still terrible and all bones.
You got to go to the right place.
All right. Now,
I'm sure there's a restaurant that serves pigeon that's not bad.
I've got to ask you about tacos, which you mentioned, because I learned this on your old PBS show, and it happens again on the Netflix show. You go places and they give you tacos, and they're not folded over. I'd never seen open-faced tacos before.
That's called a tostada.
Where they just have the tortilla and the stuff goes on top of it, and they don't fold?
But the tortilla is crisp, so it stays like a plate.
I see.
And you can hold it and then bite it, or you can eat off it, or you can do whatever you want. They don't care.
Seems like most of it's going to go on my shirt.
Yeah, I have that sometimes.
Do you try to take the recipes from these places and cook them at home?
No. I'm so in love with what these people do. I don't have the talent, the intelligence, or the patience to be a great chef. I can do a few things okay, but here's how I look at it. I meet great chefs who can't write a sitcom.
Yeah.
So we all do what we can do.
Absolutely.
They may be an audience for my sitcom. I am an audience for their food.
Right.
And I'm a very good audience. You'll never meet anybody who appreciates it more. In fact, I have such respect for it that I think it's insulting that if I make a mess of it.
And in some cases, you look at it and you go, I love this. I would love to have this more often, but I'm only going to have it when I come back to this place and you make it for me. I'm never going to try.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
I feel the same way.
If you go to a place that makes the best of that in the world, why would you want to make it? You just go there and have it.
The job that I want is to be a location scout for your show. Who finds all these restaurants and chefs in these cities?
Well, I have a production company that I work with called ZPZ, and the reason you want to work with them is because not only do they do my show, but for 18-plus years, they've done Anthony Bourdain's show.
Oh.
So they know every place on earth. They have people who live there, who are up on the new things and even the old things, and then I do my own research, which anyone who travels can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your pocket. You just go on the phone and Google the place, best places to eat in Lisbon, and it comes up. And then you cross-reference. And when you cross-reference, you find out if something is just like somebody is advertising when you don't know it, or, you know, you see it three or four times and you think, oh, well, this might be something. We should go here.
Do you trust Yelp reviews?
No, that's why I cross-reference.
You got to hear it from more than one person.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, Yelp is kind of an aggregate, but sometimes the Yelp review can be misleading because the number one restaurant in a place might be rated number one just because of price.
Mm. That's true.
And quality may be second. I think I'm looking for both, actually. I'm looking for something that's fantastic and maybe doesn't cost a fortune.
I have two questions my wife thought of while we were watching your shows this weekend. Number one.
Great.
You can't.
I like that you're your wife.
Oh, wait,
your wife like me?
Oh, she loves you. Absolutely.
Oh.
She's as big a fan of you as I am.
That's nice. Tell her hi from me.
I will. She says that you can't possibly finish every meal. There's too much food put in front of you. Is that right?
She's very astute, your wife. There's two reasons for that. One is exactly what she said. It's too much, and nobody could. And second, I have a crew of people looking at me and salivating.
Yeah.
I'd be cruel to finish it all myself.
Yeah. That's what I said.
And to me, the fun is in sharing it, seeing their faces light up.
Yeah.
I like that just as much as eating it myself. To share it with you, not just right in front of me, my friends, my family that's all around me, but the audience, if I can turn you on to a dish where you go, oh, my God, that looks amazing, I have to have that, and it actually motivates you to get up off the couch and travel, then my work is done.
Yeah,
and what's nice is that I hear from people all the time that they went somewhere and they had what I had and they liked it, and that nothing makes me feel better.
Oh, I was going to ask you if people from the old PBS show have done that and written to you and said, oh, thank you, Phil. That's wonderful.
Go on my Twitter or my Instagram, you see, or Facebook, you see the people that write in. And I want you to write in. If you're listening and you've traveled somewhere, tell me about it. I love it.
My wife's other question is that you seem to have a very high tolerance for spicy food, stuff that we would never put in our mouths because we see your eyeballs bug out of your head, but you seem to like it. So she wants to know, what is the spiciest thing you've ever eaten?
Yeah, there's a limit. I don't like it so spicy. That I don't think I have as high a tolerance as she thinks I do. I think I have an average tolerance. Now, that's compared to someone who eats mayonnaise on white bread every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can eat spicy food. But I don't think I'm like, I can compete with really, you know, the people who eat the ghost peppers.
Mm.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
In other words, the flavor is more important to me than the spice. Once the heat or the pain index goes above the flavor index, I'm not interested.
Yeah. That's very well said.
And
I feel the same way.
Some spice is just pain, and why do that? Why not just staple your tongue?
You know, a few years ago, my wife and I went to Italy for the first time, and we were in this small town where they actually made the olive oil from the trees that were literally outside the building. And I actually did an olive oil taste test while I was there. And the third one they gave me, they said, now you'll feel a little something in this one. And I thought, what do you mean feel something? It's olive oil. What am I going to feel?
Right.
About three seconds after I swallowed it, I knew what they meant because my larynx was on fire.
Oh, too peppery.
Yes. Have you experienced that?
Olive oil is peppery, yes.
Who knew?
Yes, I didn't know.
Last question for you before I let you go here and promote your show big time again. one of the wonderful things about your show is, at the end, you Skype with your parents, and and your dad sometimes tells jokes, and your mom seems to be semi-amused at them after she's heard them for 50 years. I'm wondering, when you were growing up, was there good food in your house?
No. Did I hesitate too long before answering?
No. What was an average meal like from Mom Rosenthal?
Listen, I love my mother. Let me just say that first.
All right, that's the disclaimer. It's out of the way.
Person.
Okay.
She's smart. She's funny. She's encouraging. I owe everything to her.
Yes.
Cooking maybe not her strongest point.
Okay.
We didn't have a lot of money, and she held down a job as well as my dad. And so when she came home, the cuisine, I would say, was an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
And the style of cuisine was cheap.
Yeah. Cheap and cooks fast.
Yes, and we got the not the best cuts of meat. I used to joke that my mother had a setting on the oven for shoes.
Yeah, but not too spicy, Mom.
I didn't have spice. I didn't have garlic until I left that house.
Wow.
I had never tasted it before.
The show is called Somebody Feed Phil. There are episodes in New Orleans and Saigon and Tel Aviv. And what are the other three about? Where are they?
Bangkok and Lisbon and Mexico City.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of those, and I urge everyone else to check them out as well. They'll all be out on Netflix all at the same time, will they?
Friday.
Great. All right, check them out. Put it on your list, your queue, as Netflix likes to make everybody say. Add them to your queue and check them out, and I think you'll enjoy it, and maybe you'll even see some foods on there that make you go, ooh, we got to go there. Absolutely.
Yes, you'll say, somebody feed me.
Yeah. Phil, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Phil Rosenthal here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.